Okay, Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas, of course, begins with the reward that Hashem bestows upon Pinchas for him stepping in and killing Cosby and Zimri for their illicit act that they perform in front of Moshe and the Jewish people. And Hashem gives Pinchas two rewards. The first reward he gets is a bris shalom, a covenant of peace, and then he's given the bris kuhunas olam. He's given the covenant to become a Kohen. Now, Pinchas is a grandson of Aharon HaKohen. Pinchas is the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon, and as a grandson of Aharon HaKohen, obviously the question would be asked, why does he need a gift, a new covenant of the kahuna? Isn't he a Kohen already? He's a grandson of Aaron. And Rashi points out that it's true he's a grandson of Aaron, but he wasn't necessarily a Kohen at all. Because when the Kohanim were anointed with the opening up of the Mishkan on the first of Nisan of the second year, the only three people were actually anointed as Kohanim: Aharon and Aharon's two sons, Elazar and Itamar. But none of the grandchildren of Aharon were anointed with them, so that there were only three Kohanim, and from those three, all the Kohanim were to descend. The children that were already born did not have that status as a Kohen, and therefore Pinchas, as a grandson, was not a Kohen until this episode of our Parsha, where he was given the gift, the status of the kahuna. The Maral asks why that should be. Why was it when Aharon was anointed and his sons, Elazar and Itamar, of course Aharon had two other sons who died on that day, but when Aharon and his two sons were anointed, why not include the whole family, a couple more kids? Why leave them out, that you would now have these families, the families of Elazar and Itamar, that children that would be born from that point on would be Kohanim? The children that were already born were not. Why do that? And the Maral suggests two possibilities, one a very practical aspect and one a little bit more esoteric. His more practical suggestion is simply that it could be all the children of Elazar and Itamar at the time were still under bar mitzvah. The Medrash points out that Elazar, who was the older of the two sons, was only 30 at the time of the second year when the spies were sent out. So it could be that all of his children, which would make sense, were not yet bar mitzvah yet. And therefore, it didn't make sense to anoint as a Kohen someone who wasn't yet Shaykh, who wasn't fit to serve in the Kahuna, and they were left out. And when they became of age, it was too late. There was only a one-time moment where you could be anointed as a Kohen from scratch, and if you missed that one opening, you weren't going to be able to do so later. That, the Maral suggests, is a possibility. Then he throws in, he suggests another little bit more esoteric aspect, and that is, it was important that you anointed the least amount of Kohanim possible, which would have been Aharon and his two sons. Aharon was not going to have any more children. He doesn't have any more children after this point, so he clearly needed to have somebody else. It had to be his sons Elazar and Itamar, but they were still able to have more children, and it was better not to do anything more than that. And that is because it's significant and important that the Kohen be born with his status of kahuna. And in this, the Maral expresses the keser kahuna. The Mishneh Perkei Avos describes three crowns of the Jewish people: the crown of kahuna, the crown of malchus, of kingship, and the crown of Torah. The crown of kahuna has its unique aspect in that it's passed down from father to son through the guf. The body, the physical being, is niskadish, is sanctified in its new status. And that's not true, obviously, about a king. When a king fathers a son, so that son may become a king, may not become a king. A king might have several sons. Maybe one will become the king, but certainly not all. There's no intrinsic handing down of the status of malchus from one father down to a son. And the keser of Torah, the crown of Torah, of course it's true that there's no such thing as passing it down. Just because a father is a Talmud Chacham, that doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form the son naturally becomes a Talmud Chacham. That son has to learn the Aleph Beis just like everybody else. Has to go through all the difficulties of learning. He might have a great teacher in the home, but he has to sit down and learn to become a Talmud Chacham. Nothing is passed on through the genes. But the kahuna is that way. He's niskadesh right away, the moment that the child is born, really potentially even before. There's a minhag that many people are familiar with, that pregnant women try to avoid going to a cemetery. One of the main reasons for that minhag actually comes from wives of Kohanim who might be carrying a son. And since that son is not allowed to go to a cemetery, so the mother already has such a minhag. It's a minhag, it's not really a halacha. The child isn't born, doesn't have his own status of the kahuna, even if it would be a son. But the idea that the Kedusha is passed on physically from father to son is unique when it comes to the Kahuna. And therefore, we needed to have Aharon. He wasn't going to have any more children. And Elazar and Itamar. But their sons that were already born, like Pinchas, they were born not as a Kohen. And in order to achieve the full status of Kahuna, so only Elazar and Itamar, they needed to. Somebody had to have who was still of childbearing years. So Elazar and Itamar were. And then their sons from that point on, who would be born as a Kohen, would have that status. Pinchas is then given a special gift. Even though he already had been born, he was given a gift because of his actions in this week's parsha, that he too was given the bris, kuhuna solam, to achieve the status of kuhuna, and then be able to pass it on to as well to any future children that he would have.